Well, let's open our Bibles want to start here. Let's open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now, I'm going to cover tonight, just highlight six points, as to the value of speaking in other tongues. And we covered the last time the value of speaking in other tongues. And we know in Acts 1:8, it says, we receive power. We shall receive power when? After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We also said that in order to receive the infilling, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you must be born again. You can't put new wine in an old wine skin. Your spirit has to be changed. And in this book, Brother Hagin also talks about, he said that when people sought to be filled with the Holy Ghost and were not born again, he said that he saw people being exposed to demon spirits. And so they exposed themselves to that because why? The spirits weren't changed. And so, and nothing to be afraid of, you're born again. Can't touch your spirit. But people that seek to be filled with the Holy Ghost without being born again can expose themselves to the God of this world. Amen. Not saying that that happens to everybody, but he said in his ministry he did see that happen. So, again, that was the prerequisite. And we saw in past lessons the difference between being born again, having a well of water, and having a river of living water coming out of our spirit, the inner man, out of our belly. And so those two experiences, we saw that the water in both situations referenced the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, and were the same. The water's the same, but the experience is different. One, you're being born again. One, you're being filled or being baptized with the Holy Ghost. So did you get to 1 Corinthians 14? Okay, point number one here, and we're continuing from last time we were together, that being filled with the Holy Ghost or speaking with other tongues, the first point that we're making is that it's the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost. So that's a value. In other words, it's the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. Number two, speaking with other tongues, we're speaking unto God and not unto men. So in other words, if you go here in 1 Corinthians, verse 2, it says, for he that speaketh, notice that he that speaketh, that's you, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, so it's not, you know, some folks will say, well, I'm not going to pray unless the Holy Ghost moves on me. Well, he going to move on your spirit, but you've got to do the speaking. They say, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but who? Unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit, we're talking about praying in other tongues, he speaketh mysteries. So you can see here he's given us a divine means by which we can speak to God supernaturally. I like to say it this way, that conversation is encrypted. He can't understand it. It can't be hacked. It's private. You know, when I was growing up, I'm going to date myself a little bit, but when I was growing up back in the 50s, we lived on in a farmhouse out in Illinois. It was up way up near Chicago, out near Elgin. It was near Elgin where they make the watches. A little west of that, it was cold. and a lot of snow. And out then, at that time, we had party lines. So when you picked up the phone, you'd say, excuse me, you'd hear somebody else talking, and you'd have to say, oh, I'm going to use the phone, thank you very much. Or people would just listen in. But I like to say, when I'm having a conversation in the Holy Ghost, there's no party lines. This is private. Isn't that good to know? So you pray in the Holy Ghost, the devil can't muzzle in, or he can't figure out what you're saying. It's a divine, supernatural language between who? It says, not unto men, but unto God. Hallelujah. For no man understandeth, but who understands it? God does. He understands it. So this is private. Hallelujah. So what does Paul mean by the phrase, in the Spirit? He said, in the Spirit, he means speaking in other tongues. We see here, he says, and I'm going to read some things that I didn't read the last time. In this verse, it says, howbeit in the Spirit, he speaketh mysteries. Mysteries. Well, let me read this from the Message translation. It says, if you praise him in the private language of tongues, I like this, God understands you, but no one else does. For you are sharing intimacies just between you and him. I like that. We have an intimate God, and he's given us a language that we can be intimate with him with. Amen. The Weymouth translation. For he who speaks in an unknown tongue is not speaking to men, but to God. But unto God. For no one understands him, yet in the Spirit he is speaking secret truths. The Weiss translation, it says, he utters with his human spirit, as energized by the Holy Spirit, divine revelations not explained. These are divine revelations not explained. I'm getting a lot of these translations from this book that I referenced here. The Mark Hankins book. The Moffat translation, it says, he is talking of divine secrets in the Spirit. The NIV says he utters mysteries with his Spirit. And the Amplified, I like this, for one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands or catches his meaning. Because in the Holy Spirit, he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. Not obvious to the understanding. That's why when it says here, we're going to go over here in a minute, in Romans chapter 8, it says, the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not how to pray as we ought. But he helps us pray. Why? Because we don't know everything. And so we don't know, it didn't say we don't know how to pray. It says we don't know how to pray as we ought. See, because Jesus said that, he said, verily, verily, he said, when you pray, pray unto the Father in my name. So he gave us instructions on how to pray. But sometimes we don't know how to pray as we ought to pray. See, and we need some help. And that makes sense to you. So, speaking in other tongues, we pray mysteries. We pray secret divine things. Secrets, it says sharing intimacies, divine revelations not explained, mysteries in the Spirit, things that are not obvious to our understanding. We're limited. And of course, you know that. We're limited. So that's, again, point number two. Speaking with tongues, we're speaking unto God and not unto men. Point number three. Speaking with tongues will build or charge yourself up. What is going to be charged up? Your spirit man. Let's go over to Jude. You say, well, I know that scripture. Good. Then you know how to get there. And we could read it together. Let your eyes look at it. Amen. Jude, verse 20. It says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, doing what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. So this is a way, you know, if something needs to be built up, I know there's another scripture verse we're going to go to. It says to be edified. In this particular book, Brother Hagin refers to a Greek scholar. He said that word means to be built up, means to be charged. So what happens when your battery runs down? You need a charge. And some of us, our batteries are real low. And so we need to be charged and keep being filled in our spirit. We need to keep being charged in our spirit. You're giving out. You're doing things. You need to have your spirit charged or edified. So when you build yourself up, you charge yourself up like a battery. Use that as a simple explanation. So when you look at this particular scripture verse, it says building yourselves up or building up yourselves on your most holy faith. So praying in the Holy Ghost doesn't give you faith. And I'll make sure you understand that. It doesn't give you faith. You're built up on your most holy faith, Romans 10:17. So faith comes how? By hearing, and hearing the Word of God. That's how faith comes. But we can be built up and energized. And I'll tell you what happens. The faith that you do have, when you become energized and charged, it has more impact. The Holy Ghost will pull from that which is in your spirit, and the things that you face in life, you'll be able to confront it without falling, you know, just giving up. Because why? Your spirit is strengthened with what? Might. Your spirit is charged. So you say, well, everything's going fine. Yeah, but then something will hit you that you didn't expect. How many of us have looked at something and go, oh, God, I don't know how I'm going to do with this. I don't know how I'm going to handle this. I don't know. Yeah, but I know how. Because when your spirit is strengthened with might on the inner man, when something comes, you may not know how to deal with it, but your spirit is strong on the inside. You're not going to give in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you can see here that when you're charged, you're ready to confront things. You're ready to be used by God in a greater way. Hallelujah. Now, let's go over, we were in 1 Corinthians. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 again. Let's take a look at this. And verse 4, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4. It says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue does what? Edifieth himself, not your neighbor, not your husband, not your wife. It says you edify yourself, himself. You build up. You charge yourself. That's what we just got done reading in Jude. But he that does what? Prophesieth, does what? Edifies the church. So you can see the value. Praying in other tongues is more for your own personal edification and worship of God. But prophecy is to edify the church. Hallelujah. And prophecy here, we're talking about a gift of the Spirit that God will work through in a public setting. Prophecy can be in English, or it could be the combination of tongues and the interpretation, those two together constitute prophecy. Amen. So this word edifies means to build, to repair, to build up from a foundation. Let me read for a few translations here. The New Living Translation, it says, a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. I like that. It means edifieth. It says strengthened. See, a lot of us, I include myself, you know, we can reach a level of strength, but the more we pray, that's why Paul says, I prayed in tongues more than you all. So some of the things that he had to face, just back up and look at what the Lord said to, go to 2 Corinthians, just jump over there for a second. Now, Paul, as much as he prayed in the Holy Ghost, prayed in other tongues, he reached a point where he said, I've had enough. Remove this from me. And what did the Lord say? He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. This strength comes by praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And we'll see that in a minute. So you can see here that it says a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. Boy, I tell you, that's encouraging. On both levels. That don't take lightly prophecy. It's to do what? Strengthen us. Amen. This is God's word translation. When a person speaks in another language, he helps himself grow. But when a person speaks what God has revealed, he helps the church grow. This is the Amplified translation. It said, he who speaks in a strange tongue edifies and improves himself, but he who prophesies, interpreting the divine will and purpose and teaching with inspiration, edifies and improves the church and promotes growth in Christian wisdom, piety, holiness, and happiness. Hallelujah. So we can see here that, back to what we said, tongues is there to do what? Edify and build us up, strengthen us. Strengthen our spirit. When you feel weak, pray in the Holy Ghost more. Pray in the Spirit more. Most times, if you talk with people that feel weak, they just feel so run down, ask them, how much do you pray in the Spirit? How much do you pray in other tongues? And I will guarantee you, most will say either not at all or a little bit. Yes, there's time. We need to have time in the Word of God. But you need to pray in the Spirit. And you find that most are not praying. They're too busy. Or they think, well, I don't have time in the morning. I don't have time. But you have time all day long. You can pray in the Spirit to strengthen you. Strengthen your spirit, man. Hallelujah. So when we pray in English, we are limited in what we can express. But when we pray in the Spirit from our heart, we can pray the perfect will of God. So let's go over to Ephesians chapter 3. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and let's look at verse 26. 8:26. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. (Clears throat) It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. So he helps us do the praying. He doesn't do all the praying. He helpeth us with our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for, what? As we ought. But the Spirit itself, and most translations say himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Paul knew from personal experience that there's a blessing and a source of power for your everyday living and life, found only in speaking in other tongues. So let's go. I'm going to come back to Romans 8, but let's jump ahead here to Ephesians chapter 3 for a minute. Ephesians chapter 3. This wonderful prayer by Paul here. And let's look at verse 14. And you're going to see, if you read this, you know, Pastor Clinton always used to say, if you look at Scripture like a diamond, you look at it one way and you see something. You look at it another way, you see something else. I began to see here, when you look at this particular scripture and what follows in verse 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21, you can see why 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21, by being strengthened with might. So look at verse 14 in chapter 3. It says in Ephesians, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be what? Strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Where are you strengthened? Not in your head, not in your flesh, in your inner man. That's the real you. That's the one that's going to have to stand strong. When it says stand and all that you've done, stand, that's where you're going to have to stand. You're going to have to stand strong in your spirit. And I'll tell you, most times, any one of us, that when we have given in to a circumstance, because everyone in here has, you're mental, you know, mentally, you just, it's overwhelming. You just go, this is too much. Every one of you could look back and say, you know what? I was weak in my spirit. You'd have to admit you were approaching or you were dealing with a situation in life and your spirit wasn't strong. And I'm telling you here, and I've been on the other side, all of us have, where we have walked through a situation and our spirits have been strengthened. So we know both. So we have the solution here. So look at verse 17. So here, when you're strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, in the King James, what comes after that? A semicolon. The thought continues. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, because you're strengthened with might by his Spirit in your inner man, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to do what? Comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ, which does what? Passeth knowledge. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Is this making any sense to anybody? Or am I preaching to the choir here? I don't know. But you can see here, how are you going to know the love of God? How are you going to be able to do what? Comprehend with all the saints, what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ? that's going to come. You're going to become more aware of God's presence. He's going to reveal to you that in a greater measure by building yourself up on your most holy faith. See, we can read the scriptures, but it's going to be the Holy Ghost who's going to strengthen us and build us up and energize us and reveal to us these spiritual things. So that when you are faced with unlovely people, see, that's why I say we are not going to be prepared to face the unloveliness of the world unless we pray more in the Holy Ghost. You will not be able to. Because somebody's going to come in and step on your toes and not smell too nice and say some things that aren't too nice to you, and you certainly don't want to go click your teeth and walk off. Because it's going to need the Holy Ghost strength to love the unlovely. How did Jesus do it? He'd send them and say, you go ahead. And he went up in the mountain and prayed. He said, I'll meet you there. He spent much time in prayer with his Father so that he could be strengthened. He was a man without sin, but he still was a man in this flesh, tempted in all areas. So he needed that time in prayer. Now we know he could not sin, and he didn't, but there was a temptation. So here, one of the things that we see here, praying in the Holy Ghost, is that there is a place for praying in our understanding. We may know about certain things. If you're without finances, you know to pray for that. If you're without rent money, you know what to pray for. If you're without food and you're hungry, you know what to pray for. See? But then there's things that you don't know. There's things that you don't know that are hindering some of those things. So we need both. We need to pray in our understanding, and we need to pray in the Spirit. Both. Both are needed. So here you can see, if you look at Romans 8:26, and it says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. So Paul shows us here how the Holy Spirit helps us. He says right here, with what? Hello, with what? Groanings. So that's how the Holy Spirit helps us. He helps us, maketh intercession for us with groanings. But with that groan that comes out of your spirit, you still have to release it. So he may stir you to pray, but you've got to do the moaning. You've got to do the praying. Is that correct? He helps us. You have to yield to that. Glory to God. So in Romans 8:26, when it says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, the Phillips translation says, he helps us in our present limitations. The Bible in Basic English said, the Spirit puts our desires into words which are not in our power to say. There's things that are not in your power to say. Why? Because you're limited. Limited in your understanding. The New American Standard Bible says, with groanings too deep for words. In other words, these are things that are not articulate or inarticulate. Groanings or inarticulate things means things not in a known language. Something articulate means something that we know, a known language. Inarticulate means something that's not known. That means a groaning. That's how he helps us. So when it says an articulate speech, it means regular kind of speech. That's what that means. This is the authentic translation. Likewise, the Spirit comes to the assistance of our limitations, for we do not know how to express ourselves adequately in prayer. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession with speechless moans. Hallelujah. This is the Jerusalem Bible. For when we cannot choose words in order to pray properly, the Spirit Himself expresses our plea in a way that could never be put into words. So He can pray in a way in groanings that we can't put into words. We're limited. There's things He knows that we don't know. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Here's another thing. Jump over to Ephesians chapter 6. See, our limitations, how are we limited? We don't know the future. So the things that we don't know, sometimes we don't even know the underlying conditions that are causing a problem in your life or somebody else's life. You don't know that. So we need the Spirit of God's assistance in those. Look at verse 12 in chapter 6. It says, for what? We wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against what? The rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So unless God reveals to you what's behind the scenes in the Spirit, you don't know. And you need the Spirit of God's assistance to help you in your prayer. Amen. We don't know how to pray as we ought. We think we do, but you only pray based on what you can see. But unless the Spirit of God reveals to you how to pray something in articulate speech, and He does sometimes, there's times He'll say, pray this way, say this, speak to this. And there are times that He doesn't. You just need to just trust God. Somebody asked Sunday, well, to me, he said, well, what do you mean by that? He said, well, what if I don't know how to pray on something? He said, can I just, and I'm thinking about it. I said, absolutely. You just say, well, I don't know how to pray as I ought regarding this situation. I'm just going to trust and pray in the Spirit regarding this individual or this situation. And by faith, you begin to pray, how? In the Spirit. Amen. Because that's what the Scripture says. So, again, we don't know exactly how to pray about a matter according to God's perfect will, but guess who does? The Holy Spirit does. Amen. Number 5, praying in other tongues eliminates selfishness in prayer. It eliminates selfishness in prayer. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 12 for a minute. Romans chapter 12. It eliminates selfishness. And let's look at chapter 12 in the book of Romans. And look at verse 2. And it says, and be not conformed to this world, but what? Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that what? Good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we can see here that praying in other tongues, praying in tongues is Spirit-directed, and it eliminates the possibility of selfishness entering in our prayers when you pray in the Spirit. Because there's things you don't know how to pray as you ought. So selfishness could enter in. Lord, I need this. I want this. There's a perfect will of God. So it's best sometimes when you don't know how to pray as you ought, pray in the Spirit. Amen. And again, here, if you persist in praying selfishly out of your own will, carnal thinking, you may find yourself asking for only the acceptable will of God, and it's not His perfect will. The children of Israel prayed for a king, and it was not God's will for them to have a king. He wanted to be their king. And they kept persisting, and God said, go ahead. So there are times that we can keep asking God for something, and God will just say, go ahead, do what you want to do. And it's not God's perfect will. And so by praying in the Spirit, we get the Spirit of God's assistance to help us in that way, so that it eliminates any selfishness on our part. Amen? You're all quiet in here tonight. Is this too deep for everybody? Or is it you like, I know this already? Huh? Amen. Praise God. All righty. So when you pray in the Spirit, you pray out the perfect will of God. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Hallelujah. Number 6, praying in tongues helps us magnify God. It assists us in magnifying God. Look at Acts chapter 10. This was at the account of Cornelius and his house. And you can see here, after they heard Peter and John came down and laid hands upon them. But you can see in verses 45, it said, verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word, and when they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because, why? That on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's because they were born again. They got born again in that setting. It says what? For they heard them speak with tongues and do what? And magnify God. So that assists us and helps us magnify God when we pray in the Spirit. Why? Because our spirits are more aware of His presence. There's no carnality. There's no selfishness involved. His presence is more real to us, and we magnify Him. So I hope that helps tonight. These are five or six points here. So what was number one? Number one was it's the initial evidence of being filled with the Spirit. So it's the evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. That's a value. Number two, we speak unto God and not unto men when we pray in the Holy Ghost. To me, I like this. This means a lot to me. Speaking with other tongues builds us up or charges us up in the Spirit. It edifies us. It strengthens us in the Spirit, in our spirit man. Praying in other tongues will help us pray in line with God's perfect will. Number 5, praying in tongues helps us to eliminate selfishness in our prayers. And number 6, praying in other tongues helps us to magnify God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I'm just going to share here. I'm going to focus on Sunday. I'm going to focus on Ephesians chapter 3, being strengthened with might by His Spirit in your inner man. And you want to come expecting, take these lessons and feed upon them, feed upon the Scriptures. And for me, I have made a choice. I've been doing it for a while. But I've increased my time praying in the Spirit. I'm finding that even the distractions here in the ministry. You get phone calls, you get pulled in things, you get pulled into things that you least expect. It just shows up on your doorstep and you go, okay, very interesting, very good. Okay, so how are you able to deal and handle with those in a God-like way and not be caught off guard, not be overwhelmed? Pray in the Spirit more so that your spirit is charged. Amen. I'm thinking about, you know, when we have these prayer walks or going down into Spring Valley and praying, they're doing what? Praying mysteries, praying in the Spirit concerning that area. Praying divine secrets. There's things we couldn't even know about in that area. And the same here. When we pray, those that come in during the day, during the week, and pray in the Holy Ghost, come into this room and pray in the Spirit, they're praying to God mysteries and divine secrets. They're in prayer, praying those things, praying out God's perfect will for this ministry, for individuals, for countries. So we just thank God for those that come and pray, because it upholds the ministry. I know when I was, I went through a situation, you've heard this, that's why I say every one of us here probably wouldn't have made it in life because somebody else, we weren't praying for ourselves. Somebody else was praying. Somewhere was praying for us in the Holy Ghost, praying out God's perfect will for your life so that you didn't fail. I know for me, you've heard me tell this story about how I had this issue with my stomach. It was mainly just bad diet. As I like to say, Twinkies, ring-dings, and junk. And didn't eat right. And it ended up with a problem. And so the Holy Ghost spoke to me as I was standing in the shower, coming back from vacationing with my parents. I'm just standing there enjoying the hot water for a second. And I heard down in my spirit, if you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of this year. And so I just kept standing there under the water, and I went, July, August, September, October, November, December. That's 6 months. And I kept showering, got out, dried myself off, and went for another 2 weeks before I went to the doctor. Now, you might think, I'd never do that. Well, God bless you. I'm glad you're so spiritual. But I didn't, and it wasn't until I said to myself, I know the Spirit of God's voice. That was the Holy Ghost. And I better obey, or I won't see the end of the year, because He knows something I don't know. And so I did. And after all of that, come to find out, all I did was make some corrections in my diet. And after about 6 months, it all cleared up. But I asked this nutritionist, this doctor, I said to him, I said, how bad was this? He said, if you'd gone one more week, they would have opened you up. And I knew when he said that, if they opened you up, it would have gone, you'd have died. So after all of that happened, this young lady came to me, who was at the time was a member in this church. She came up to me, it was in a prayer meeting on Friday night, said, you know, the Holy Ghost had me, this was, months, it might have been a year or two after this happened. She said, I just wanted to let you know, on this date I was praying for you. She said, the Holy Ghost woke me up in the middle of the night and said, if you don't get up and pray, he's going to die. And she said, I just wanted to let you know I was praying for you. Whoo! Because that night, I said, what date was that? And I was home, and I felt like I was slipping out of my body. And I was standing, you know, as they say, I was standing on God's word. I was believing God, trusting God. And I'm laying in my bed. I said, I feel like I'm slipping. And then I just, I don't know. They were just, it just, I'm okay. I'm not calling the ambulance. But that girl said, I got down on my knees and prayed, and she said, if I didn't pray, she said, the Holy Ghost woke me up and kept bugging me and said, get up and pray, get on your knees and pray. If you don't, he's going to die. So I said, you know what? If you ever think in one moment, one microsecond, that your prayers got it through, huh? It was somebody else's prayer for you that got you through that night. So that's why I say praying in the Holy Ghost is not only for us personally to strengthen us, but when the Holy Ghost, he knows things that you don't know. And that's why, let me turn over here for a second in Ephesians, and then we'll close with this. Go over to Ephesians and chapter, I believe it's 6. Yeah, chapter 6. Look at verse, Ephesians chapter 6, and look at verse 18 here. It says, praying always with what? All prayer and supplication, how? In the Spirit. That means in other tongues. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for who?
All
for all saints. How are you going to be able to pray for all saints? You don't know everything about all saints. In the Spirit. In other tongues. That's how you can pray for all saints. And I'll tell you, I experienced that. That girl got up and prayed for me that I'd make it and live. And we can do that. We can pray as prompted in the Spirit for all saints. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm finished. Did you get something? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen. I believe it'll help you, help somebody else. It may answer some questions that they've had about things they're going through within life. It'll help them. Amen. Father God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the helper that lives within us, the greater one that lives within us. And Father, if we've neglected this in any way, we repent. That means we change our thinking right now, Father. And we're going to determine to repent and move forward. Pray more in the Spirit during the day. Pray more in other tongues as we go about our daily tasks. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.